Welcome back to the Podcast That Rocks, weekly podcast that talks about news in the world of rock, metal, alternative, and everything in between. My name is Luke.
My name is Alex.
And my name is Rowan.
Hope you are all doing well on this Wednesday evening that we're recording June 18th. If we get to 50 likes on YouTube, which we're broadcasting live, we will play one round of Festival Rock or Flop, where we book a random festival in a totally random place. Last week was ridiculous. There was at least one crap band and a really good lineup, but it all worked out pretty well. I added more bands to the folder this week because I saw a few more at Warped Tour, and that's going to be the main thing from our discussion. Alex and Rowan know pieces of my Warped Tour situation, but this is going to be something different. Alex and Rowan reserved my input that I gave you like a little bit on the weekend and stuff. What have you heard outside of what I thought from Warped Tour, if anything?
Surprises. I watched Slaughter to Prevail's set list because they played Song 3, which has become just like a new favorite of mine from them. And it just like they didn't disappoint. Honestly, it was epic.
Okay, then. Sounds good. And Alex, you said surprises.
Fun surprises. I was happy to see Avril Lavigne and Derek Wimbley, you know, get together. Mm-hmm. That was fun.
And I got footage of that too. They got a long history, but it's been friendly for many, many years, you know, which is a rare feat with their situation as well. So that's something positive that happened on Sunday night. So that being said, thank you so much, everyone in the chat room. Thank you as well, Sapphire, for wishing everyone a meowty with the cat emotes. See, that's how you do the emojis properly in the chat room, everyone. It's polite and friendly. You're not throwing anything at people. Thank you. Also, someone just said tornado watch while we're watching this. Jeez.
Sheesh.
Imagine we just lose them way through. The tornado gets
Yeah, tornado siren. I got to hear the Warped Tour recap.
Yeah. The house is like, it's like Twister, the house, just like how like
the old Wizard of Oz footage with Dorothy's house in the air flying away.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. And there's like just like a lady on a bike just outside.
Please pay attention to the sirens. Come on now.
Yeah, that takes precedent. Even I understand. I get it. Okay. You can catch up later if you have to. A tornado is a good excuse. So
it is a good excuse. That is better than a doctor's note.
You can watch this afterwards. That is an option.
So who's ready for some Warped Tour footage? Not just photos, straight up nitty gritty in the deep footage. Because that's what I got for everybody right now. While I'm discussing, I'm going to be sharing this. Yeah, there you go. Rowan had his hand up. While I'm talking about it, I'm going to share my screen and make sure I get this right. Share screen for everyone. Wabam. I hope I did that right. Can you see my monitor?
Yes.
Because I think I hit the wrong one. Yeah, I totally did. I almost messed that up. Now it should be good. Okay. Everyone, what you're about to see is a mute of about 7 or so minutes of straight up footage, and I'll be discussing things as they go on. I'll pause. I'll replay whatever's wanted. I'll talk about things at length. I have other clips to show from what happened at RFK Festival Grounds in Washington, D.C., June 14th and 15th. Just kidding. 15th, I ended up not going on the 14th. D.C. was a straight up mess this weekend. When I say everything was shut down in D.C., they were anticipating much more, like with the parade and stuff that didn't happen. But they closed down so many exits and entrances to highways. There were so many detours. People were not getting into the first day of Warped Tour until around 4 p.m. And when you have a festival that's infamous for not showing you the schedule till you get there, that's a bit of a problem. When I find out Scowl, a band I love, opens up at noon on day one and literally people don't even have a chance to get in on time, it kind of puts a sour taste in people's mouth.
So, what a bummer.
That's a great start.
Yeah, it's not great. And also the heat wave sucks. I saw someone make a comment about, I found out what heat stroke was at Warped Tour. Oh, you found out if you were on day one at Warped Tour this year. The heat was rough. Also, it was mostly on blacktop. True Warped Tour fashion.
Oh,
yeah. So that was day one. I'm just going a recap of what I've known and stuff. I will not be showing footage of Machine Gun Kelly closing out the night doing a cover of Goo Goo Dolls' Iris because I love you too much.
I thank you for that. I didn't even know he did that, and I know now what to avoid.
You're gonna try to ruin the Goo Goo Dolls? Why? Why?
Didn't he cover that before? Or he's, am I thinking
he's,
of someone else?
He's covered a lot before, a lot. Anyway.
He's covered a lot recently.
Yes, yes. Anyway.
So it doesn't surprise me at this point.
Day two, got there early. Wasn't nearly as jam-packed and as chaotic for DC, even though it was still a little rough. All the closed exits were still a bummer. And tumultuous weather was coming, which I'll show you soon. It was overcast and sprinkling all day until the very end where the flood started. What you're seeing on screen right now, there's going to be no sound for the first 7 minutes of this. So it's just going to be me talking and talking to you guys. And let me pull chat back up so I can see what you guys are doing and asking stuff. I made it through. Spring is the new summer. Yeah, clearly. Spring just doesn't exist. So this is between looking at two of the side stages at one of the many merch rows. On the left and right of each screen are all the vendors. There were labels there like Hopeless and Thriller Records and other stuff selling their own albums. Each band got their own merch booth. This is the band nice. Boys Like Girls, and this is with my Insta360. I got a little higher for this one and decided to just take a little look-see out and show you the big crowd. These were the main stages right here. So it was a sold-out show. True sellout. Even on day two, when day one and day two had wildly different lineups, it was still packed. They succeeded with that. This was the two smallest stages on one of those on the far side. This was Cliff Diver. You'll notice something right away. The audience is definitely the same audience from 10 years ago, just 10 years older. It's not as riled up kids running around. It's just everyone kind of jiving and having a good time. Some of these people are probably burnt out from the day before, but this is the one thing I have to applaud. They put the half pipe and they had three demos, like one at 1:30, one at 4, one at 7. And they had all these people doing all these different things. And they put it perfectly between two sets of stages. So they had the two main stages, the half pipe, and then two other stages. Like it was like the perfect barrier. So that way people from both sides could see and look in. And it also added to like help with the sound barrier between the stages. They nailed everything about the half pipe demo perfectly. And they did so much stuff. They had Olympians there. They had a bunch of other stuff. They were doing promos and giveaways. This is the A+ part of this. They did way better with the half pipe demos and showing all this than all the past work tours I've seen where you didn't even know it was there or they weren't even doing anything on it. So it was fun.
I love that.
I know. Yeah. And they had skateboarders, skaters, bikers, BMX. They had a lot of stuff. I have more stuff too. This was Knuckle Puck in the very back. I was right in front of one of the pits. I telescoped up for that. Again, this was one of the main stages. This was one of the few pits that I saw that actually had some movement. It's, again, you look at the pit, older crowd. There was a lot of ibuprofen and Bengay going around Monday morning.
I will say, it is knee not braces. A if there is not one guy dressed as Jesus.
I know. It's yeah, especially at DC. This is one of the smaller stages. A lot of people are saying Sophie Powers kind of stole the show for what she did. She's the one that went on American Idol and trolled them with her audition. And she had a great set. She had a lot of energy. She was really fun. So she definitely knows what she's doing. She's like kind of that type of artist and character. There's the zoom out for me with the 360 going back in. And this was another punk band, more relying on emo, who just came out and started playing, said, screw it, I'm going to come out there with the crowd. Yeah. Mosh Pit Messiah, well done. I'm reading your chat now because it's perfect. Someone at Warped Tour 2025 is making a killing selling Advil and earplugs. See, a lot of people were giving earplugs for free, like a lot of merch places, there. Like merch tents. They're giving earplugs for free. It's just like promo stuff. Smart.
Nice.
Advil, no. You had to pay top dollar for sunscreen and Advil at some of those booths. Top dollar. So
single use, of course.
Oh, yeah. The little like mini packs. Yeah.
I'm going to slap your logo on them. Single use item.
Yeah.
Like sunscreen that you get for like the airport.
Absolutely. This was Rowan's suggestion with Sweet Pill. They had a little mini pit on the side stage. They were fun. Like it started heavy and then the guitar started tapping, going like, and that was the first song. Like it set a good vibe and they had a good crowd for the side stage too. So like at no point was nothing going on. I will say this, at no point also was everyone at one stage. There was a lot of people just sitting around doing nothing. And this is where I'm going to pause it right here. This is a good place to pause it. The biggest detractor for me from what I saw, and this is my own opinion. I'll see if I can pull it up live while I'm doing all these shenanigans. It was the lineup for DC. it was lackluster in my opinion, and that's what set things back. The show sold out months before the lineup was posted, and I remember talking to both fans, vendors, people in the back saying DC had the weakest lineup, and it kind of is reflecting a little bit with everything going on. And that's rough. I don't know how else to get around saying that. I felt that way when I saw it all happen, you know? So I know we've talked about the lineups and stuff before as well. I'll try to show it on screen really quick in a very small manner, if you guys can see that.
It is way too small.
Yeah. Cool. I'm working on it, doing things live.
It's so small.
And working on that. There we go. It's big enough. At no point do I say it's the worst lineup I've ever seen. It's absolutely not. But it's not great. And I don't know if it warrants the best Warped Tour of the three. It doesn't. Having, and I'm going to get to this point later, having Machine Gun Kelly headline night one, after Warped Tour has spent years trying to distance themselves from the many, many, many accusations of child predators and ban accusations, when Machine Gun Kelly has had many, many accusations and proof and state recorded statements of him going after young women. Not the best image. I go now before one other thing. The woman Scene Queen, who did a great thing, got to find it. She has a song called 18 Plus dedicated to all those Warped Tour bands. She made this before Warped Tour happened. Warped Tour told her she could not put that song on the Warped Tour CD they were selling on site like they always do. Well, she performed it live at Warped Tour anyway. She said, go screw yourself. I would like to say congrats for standing your ground, Scene Queen. That took some guts.
Did they cut the show or anything like that? Did they do like any damage control?
They did not, from what I understood. She closed out one of the side stages that night.
Okay.
So it didn't really matter to them, probably. But yeah, I just want to say. Yeah. So
I was just imagining like she performs a song and then someone's like, pull the plug, pull the plug.
They did not do that, thankfully. But as Alex Arslot said, for a surprise, Avril Lavigne came out and had her ex-husband and still longtime friend perform in Too Deep, the Alamody version. Let's put it that way.
Nomad's son was also there, and he also dated Avril Lavigne. Imagine he came up on stage and played drums for them.
I know, and there was a lot of cross connections like that. Absolutely, but apparently
everybody knows everybody these days.
It's very true. They're both.
Yeah, everyone dated everybody
back then in the pop punk scene from Canada and Toronto in the same city. Yes, they actually did. There was no there was no Tinder back then, you know. They just had to sell like the same pop punk bands, and like once they blew up, they just got paired off with each other. Avril and Derek. That's it. So this is my other big thing I want to talk about, and I had my own photo of this. One of the biggest other problems, like I talked about not being able to see Scowl on the first day, even if I would have tried, because traffic was sucked, DC was a nightmare. Even if it wasn't that bad, they played at noon. My problem with this is they want to have the same feeling with that inflatable stage. They want to still have the surprise and planning out your day there. You could still release the schedule beforehand and have the inflatable stage for people to take photos and have fun with to relive the nostalgia, which is what they're selling anyway. Release an actual set schedule the week before.
Yeah, I agree.
It's that time of trying to plan out things when you didn't have cell phones and stuff, and you didn't have to plan it when your parents dropped you off to have fun. It's not the same audience anymore. It's not the same technology. Yeah. Just post the schedule that you already have set.
It wouldn't cost them anything. Are they trying to be nostalgic? Because yes. Like, I understand that. That would be like, have both. There, it would cost you literally nothing.
Right. And I think
I agree both.
And I think also it would cause a lot less stress for people to get in.
This band I actually like, I came to Warped Tour to actually see.
Yeah.
When they're here and I can plan accordingly.
Yeah. Oh, they're playing at noon. I better get there early. See how easy that is?
Easy. Yeah. And one of my new favorite things with tours and festivals in, you know, this day and age is planning out, ooh, I really want to see this band and this band and this band. And then having my heart broken because two of my favorite bands are playing at the same time. And then I gripe about it online and boom, I'm talking about it. And now everybody knows about it.
Yes.
To get a little bit more put traffic out of this one.
It's so
when you answer some decisions for yourself, really, you kind of like realize, this is the band I would prefer to see.
I agree. Also,
it's more conversation flowing that way.
This tired dog right here, who is not feeling well, he's agrees with us on the Warped Tour shenanigans. He's like, what the heck is going on here? Get it together. It's not 2005. It's not even 2015. It's 2025.
Ugh. Yeah.
How is this difficult? How is this difficult?
Do both.
So, a lot of my complaints are complaints that have gone on for years. They're echoed. They're not that big of a deal. So, we talk about a few things, but there's two other things I need to address that happened to DC. One, I know Alex already saw because she replied to me in the stories. They were trying to be conscientious and aware and making sure people had water. However, security didn't do a great job of handing it out. They had bagged water, like the little packies, the packs for hydration packs, and they had actual bottled water. They were just chucking out like they were doing football drills. And oh yes, people got clocked in the head because they couldn't move in the crowd. Oops.
Like, that's gotta hurt, by the way. Like a full bottle of water to the dome. That will hurt.
After I'm already standing up, like shoulder to shoulder with sweaty people, my feet hurt, I'm heat exhausted. I don't want to get clocked in the head, you know? Yeah. So
I'm so glad that they do water
by crowd surfers.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they back in my day, they weren't really very good about handing water out, and they didn't really have like solid water stations. They did. I think they had to, but now they actually pass water out for free. And I've passed out a couple times at some festivals, and it is not fun. So I am glad that they are giving water out.
They were trying. I will give them that. They were trying. Day one was way worse for the weather and how bad it was with the heat. So it was super humid. It was only like 80, like high 80s, but it was super humid, like 99% humidity. And the sun was burning on the blacktop. This was completely flat festival grounds too, on blacktop and like the rubber matting. So they tried to do it the best they could. I will say this though about Warped Tour, if you've ever been back in the day, I'm just going to go back to my video, let that play out because we're still doing stuff.
I really got to ask, like, what is going on with security just at shows lately? It feels like it's a pandemic at this point.
Our third story in like a month and a half.
And now they're launching
clocking people in the heads with water. Hey guys at the Echo Stage, can you hand out some water? Sure thing, boss. And they start doing pitch exercises.
Yeah,
getting ready to chuck it out.
They brought on like the local minor league baseball team or something.
I don't know. I'm glad that they're doing that too, because it's either a couple of the most recent festivals I've been to, they'll pass out water like in the first two rows, like if you can reach them.
If you're front row, that's about it.
Yeah. So if you're back further, at least now you're getting water. Just be vigilant all the time for anything in any direction.
Yes. Jeez. Have an enjoyable weekend away. Keep your eyes open at all times. Do not blink. So
don't blink. 360 view all the time.
Millionaires open one of these stages, and I have a pause right here. The two sets of the bigger stages were true festival stages. No more of the mini Warped Tour stages that are lower and smaller. Like, no, these were the full size side by side stages you'd see at any DWP or Riot Fest or Shaky Knees or anything like that. Same thing. So they definitely stepped that up too. A lot of the organization for Warped Tour, which I've called a traveling circus for years, they finally have the festival plan out for three times a year. They did right. They actually planned things out much better for grounds, like the actual grounds itself. I wasn't crazy about the venue itself, but that's more of the location venue. This is one of the acoustic stages, like at the very beginning of the morning. Like when I got in, they'd be doing this all day as well. Kept coming in the shade, listen to an acoustic stuff from different bands performing. It was nice, simple, nice little idea for that as well. Actually get out of the shade, like get out of the weather, sit down on the little AstroTurf. They needed more of that. Actually, they needed more areas like to sit down somewhere in shade. It was another
issue with.
Yeah, it's another issue where shade is a luxury, but that's a totally different argument. This is Millionaires about to perform again. Let me pull this down a little, and that's Knuckle Puck. This is all cell phone footage right now, just zooming in and out. I'm just trying to get whatever I can. It was better.
Yeah, that little acoustic tent was cool. I like that.
Yeah, and they had that going all both days. They had different bands performing each time. Let me go back a little more, a little less. The 360 footage is a lot better for obvious reasons, but just something like that, you know, and like they were coming down and shaking hands, like each band, you know, again, this was like noon, but they had this going for hours. So that's like little touches like that. They thought things out. All the vendor booths were pretty good. Like all the, every band got their own stall, like 10-foot stall. All these different brands came, like Emo's Not Dead and all this other things, like labels like Hopeless Records had their own stand, like selling different vinyl. So they had a lot of stuff for that as well. The big shock to me, the food and drink options were a lot of variety and not any more expensive than anywhere else. In fact, maybe a touch cheaper. And that's a miracle because it's Warped Tour and it's DC. Like,
awesome, yeah. You actually could theoretically get food. So you're not starving, yes, and getting dehydrated.
Not only that, wide variety. I'm talking everything from poke bowls to quesadillas. They had sushi, anything you can think of they had there, along with the other things like chicken on a stick, kebabs, chicken fingers, steak fries. They had all that stuff. And they had every type of drink. Ghost Energy was one of the big sponsors. You could go anywhere and find Ghost, water, beverages. VIP had their own like food too, like their own personal food in the VIP areas. VIP areas were pretty spacious. Like if you paid for VIP, you actually did get something out of it. And I mean, that it was nice. So
I'm super happy to hear about the food options and the drink, yes, options, because that's usually pretty scarce.
It sucks pretty bad also. Like if it's not a limited selection, it's the price is jacked up.
Or yeah, the
food,
totally.
Or the food is awful. My wife and I will love to tell the story of Sonic Temple in 2019. Nothing against Sonic Temple. This was not on them, but like a plate of gourmet mac and cheese, which was like $30 for a plate, and it was cold when we got it, and it tasted like death.
Ew.
Right?
I would have been so angry.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just stuff like that. This was not the problem here. So I have to give them credit for that, too, because that works with Warped Tour. So in an area where it was sold out and people were constantly coming and going, it was crowded pretty much everywhere. The crowd was older and more mature. No one that I saw was totally obnoxious or a moron. Again, I was not there day two. I was not there day one. Maybe that happened day one in the heat. People become idiots if they get too much of the sun, but whatever. The crowd was more patient. There was a story. I'm not going to show footage of this one before we get going. One person did get hurt pretty bad at the Wonder Years. They were crowd surfing. And apparently, like when he got close to the barricade, security was ready to catch him. But the people in the front row launched him. And of course, he fell down and hit his head. Ambulance had to come. I don't know what those people were thinking or what happened with that. But yeah, that was not on security. That one was not them. So, yeah.
Eesh.
Right.
That sucks.
So were there any other actual serious issues? Yes. Here's some footage.
Poop River. Oh, God.
See, it rained really hard during Avril's set. The weather was coming, and there was a septic leak along with the sewage from all the porter potties right at the entrance. Meaning, if you didn't leave early like I did, you had to ruin your shoes. This was not a maybe. This was not a, oh, maybe I'll wait. You had to ruin your Converse and your Vans and everything else.
No.
Look at it. Everyone, look at the end of Warped Tour. Everything you see on the ground there is accurate. You are absolutely looking at what you think you are looking at.
Oh, no.
It's a weird walk of shame.
The Warped Tour walk of shame. Yeah, it sucks.
It's like a vision. It's like God came down and just gave you all a reminder that
you missed Warped Tour, do you? Yeah. Oh,
you're
yeah.
You're no longer teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, your parents aren't buying you new shoes for this one. You're on your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also,
hey, you like nostalgia? Let's take it back to Woodstock '99.
Let's take it back to when you were in diapers.
Ooh, ew, gross, Luke.
Oh, was that too gross? What you're seeing on screen isn't gross, but this was too gross. Also, top comment on the post, I've never been so relieved to have missed out on something. Warped Tour also announced it's coming back to DC, same place, same weekend, just a day ahead. I don't know how I feel it being at the same venue. Like if it was the DMV area, that's fine. I just don't know about the same venue. Could have been better. Could have been worse.
Probably cheaper, if I'm being honest.
It is. Like, the actual stadium, RFK Stadium, and the RFK Festival Grounds is roughly the glorified parking lot and area around this rundown, out-of-date stadium.
If they don't have to, like, dismantle everything and then like put it all back together, like,
right away.
In they the have same
a,
city.
They do. And they have a month. They have 1 month to get all that stuff to L.A., which is easy. A month is nothing for them. So I hope that L.A. goes well. We've applied for it. Don't know what's going to happen with that. That was my big Warped Tour reaction. And to answer any questions that might come in the comments, would I go again? If it's a different lineup, absolutely. That was the one thing holding me back. This lineup was not it for me. And I know that's a personal thing. I'm sure other people loved it. The lineup wasn't great, and that really held it back. And I still am bitter about just the whole, like, the lineup not getting announced till day of. We are past that. But I give credit to where it's due. They finally got organized, and it was in backstage and things like that. It was organized for sure. So to close out our Warped Tour coverage, we are now going to hear from Dan Povenmire and Bowling for Soup. Show us what dad jokes are. Let me know, Alex and Rowan, if you can hear.
I'm Dan Povenmire, and I know these guys, if that helps.
That's right.
I created Phineas and Ferb with my buddy Swampy. When I die, I want my remains to be spread across Disneyland. Also, I don't want to be cremated.
That's pretty good, actually. I actually wrote this joke.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Alex, all right, knock, those. Knock.
Who's there?
Poop.
Poo-poo.
You said poo-poo.
I heard it coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to eat a clock? It's very time-consuming.
Now.
So my wife and I, we were deciding whether or not we wanted a kid, and we decided we didn't want it, and that's okay. But our kid's pretty bummed about it.
Get it? They're getting rid of their child.
For my last comment, Alex, do not take notes.
I don't, Rowan, unimpressed.
Now, to be fair, they were Tom ringers, so they were dad joke ringers. They're dads themselves, so you know they have it kind of in their blood at this moment.
Any joke they say is a dad joke at that point.
Exactly. So,
versus joke was funny. It's like, yeah, I want to be, I want my remains spread out across
Disneyland.
By the way, do not cremate me.
Mm-hmm. That Haunted Mansion ride's really going to get scary. A severed hand. Yeah.
Oh my God. It's just like, they could put Dan's severed head right next to Walt's.
Oh.
I don't know where that is, though.
Yeah, they keep that cryogenically frozen somewhere underneath Orlando. Yeah.
Big secret.
And put Dan right alongside him. And then when technology comes in where we can reanimate the head and put it on a robot body, you bring Dan back and
it's the Futurama forever. Heads. They just keep the heads in jars of famous people so they just stay preserved forever. Yeah.
Isn't that what they want to do with Walt?
That's what he wanted to way back in the day, apparently. Download also happened this weekend. And from what I understand, Download was a massive success and big upgrades happened and a lot of big things happened. One of which, Sleep Token proved everyone wrong that said they weren't ready to headline. They did just fine. Not only was it sold out for that night, everyone apparently said it was great. The stage presence, everything was done perfectly. They played more songs than they did at Rock Em Park or Rock Em Ring, whichever one it is in Germany. They did a lot. It was one of the members of Korn that even said Sleep Token shut everybody up. And Korn also headlined Download Night 3 for the first time. And everyone said Korn is back and swinging. Korn made the announcement this week also. They are working on new songs. They have several all ready to go, which is awesome to hear. Apparently, Download had a lot of things go right as well. That weather, miraculously, was not nearly as bad as past years. It was not Mudfest like it usually is. That's a miracle for Download. So, a lot of good things happened for that. As we move on, all the different footage, all the different stuff that happened. Korn did a great job. And it's kind of cool to see Jonathan Davis doing better physically enough to start touring again. For a while, he was rough, like physically, after all the health scares he had over the past few years. And again, they're 30 years from their debut album, and now they're headlining Download and still getting that type of audience. Say what you want about the new metal scene. Some of the bands did just fine, you know?
Oh, Korn's first album is amazing. Mm-hmm. Freaks and Love Korn. Like, it's awesome.
Yep. They still got it. Green Day did their thing, even in another country. They made sure to call out the shenanigans that they disagree with in American politics. A lot of other stuff happened with Sex Pistols. They had to shop the show multiple times because Frank Carter wanted people riled up, which good for him. I mean, that's the show you want to get riled up. I like Frank Carter, too. I met him in 2017. My favorite story about Frank Carter, who's now taking cover with the Sex Pistols and doing their tour. When his song hit the top 10 of Billboard's rock charts in the US, he got so excited, he got drunk and tattooed the number 7 spelled out on his own neck, like he did it himself. Hmm. That's a tough man.
It's awesome.
And finally, the last big thing that happened was the debut performance of President.
Now, I have things to say about it.
And I know Rowan has things like he sent in chat. I was catching up on this because, again, I was busy with other stuff, but they had their big debut. Rowan, would you like to give a quick rundown of your thoughts of President's debut? Because there has been praise and backlash in decent amounts.
So, first of all, before I say anything about the performance itself, let me clarify. I do not think the music is bad, but if I am being completely honest, and you are all free to agree or disagree with me here, I feel like even when it came out, it's fine. It's very basic. It's very run by the numbers. Can we collectively agree on that at the very least? Like, I don't know. It's not exciting. But the reason why I bring that up is because like when the music was like that quality and they only had like 2 to begin with, having their debut be a download already kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. It felt like it wasn't earned, if that makes sense. So already it was just like a thing where it's like, I'm wondering how the turnout's going to be. And according to all the footage, people were like really hyped about it. But I don't really know if you could say it's because of the music that President has made so far, or it's just because that like they like Charlie Simpson, who, let's be real, it's the internet is convinced, it is entirely convinced that it's him under the mask. Again, Charlie Simpson, I do not know who he is.
I don't have the dun 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 sound effects, but Alex, just go dun 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 really quick.
Dun dun dun.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah. But now getting to the performance itself, I watched it with my buddies, and here's the thing. We collectively agreed that They just didn't have good stage presence, in my opinion. I mean, the president, if that's what we're calling him, he was okay. First of all, though, the mask looks like crap. I don't know what it is. It looks like a different mask than the ones in the music videos, and it looks worse somehow.
It does.
Made his lips like bright red, and it looks so crap. It looks like you tried to get someone to make a Carlocopia mask off of like Fiverr
from Spirit Halloween, the discount one.
Yeah.
Like for the music videos, it works, but I don't know if that was the music video.
I'm convinced it's a different mask because like they made the lips like super red and it looks even more cheap.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, but that's beyond the point. The backing band has like no stage presence. They just stand there and there really is nothing about like,
There is nothing interesting about their image. I'm surprised there's no backdrop, like no backdrop flag or like a fake flag or something else in the background.
They have the podium, but that's it.
Yeah, that's a little bit surprising.
Like a General Patton type, you know, like.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You know, just something like just standing from the big banner. See, we just thought of good ideas that are super cheap to do, by the way.
Well, we were thinking of good ideas, too, because me and some of my other friends that watched the footage with me, we're all in marketing. And we were like thinking of like, oh, yeah, maybe have the backing band be dressed like this just so you have like a little bit more uniqueness to them. So they're not just black jumpsuit, black mask and that little armband thing. Are they trying to go for like a dictator type thing? I don't know.
Have a bunch of fake soldiers come out for like one song, you know, like fake army.
Or maybe or at least give them rubber masks and maybe say they're the Secret Service.
Little touches that would not have cost barely anything for a group that has production, that has a budget and a label willing to back them a lot.
And then finally, just like the thing that pissed me and my friends off the most is the drummer. Here's the thing. The drummer for throughout much of the show uses a trigger pad. And that's fine for some stuff because, like, you know, they have like special effects. It's stuff you can't naturally make with a drum kit. But then they program stuff in the trigger pad. They program sounds that you can make with drums. Like they programmed a hi-hat with the pad. And so he's playing that instead of just playing the hi-hat. And it's stuff like that. And it looks so out of sync when you focus on him and try to listen to the drums. And it just like it looks so fake. It looks like he's not playing the drums.
As a non-drummer, Alex, I don't know if you've ever played drums or not. When you have a drum pad with you, it's supposed to add to your arsenal, not duplicate. That's correct. Like what you want. Yeah. What you want the drum pad to do things that you don't have on an actual drum kit, or at least have other features to extend what a drum kit isn't capable of, not duplicate what drums you already have. I'm sure it programmed more, but that's an odd choice. So
we're all in music. Me and my friends, like especially my best friend who is a drummer. He went off on that.
It's odd.
It's just it's like either get a like. I understand. Like it's not gonna like. I understand you want to try and make it sound like the record, but I mean, like when you're playing a hi-hat or a snare through a trigger and you're not playing the snare and hi-hat in front of you, it looks so like lifeless, in my opinion. It's just like there's no soul behind it. It looks so just dead. And that's like that was just the biggest reason why I just didn't like this. People were going so hype about like this show. Yeah. I commented on a single reel on Instagram of like someone's like footage of the show, and all I said was mid. And like so many President fans,
you might as well just set a profanity at that point to some of those.
Yeah, no, they. I'm not gonna reiterate what they said explicitly to me, but let me just say a fair amount of them told me to do something that is just anatomically impossible. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But okay. No, yeah, it's just like a thing where it's just like it's at a point now where I and here's the thing, I don't mind the songs. It just feels like people are more hyped because they know who the guy behind President is, and they're just more fans of him rather than judging the songs on their own, which in my opinion are just very by the numbers, very basic. If you played a song for me and I did not know who Presidents were to begin with, you just played the song for me blind, I would have said this is like Bad Omens or something like that. There's nothing unique about it. Even the lyrics themselves, it's all about like there's a lot of religious imagery, but I'm like thinking like if you're going to be president, I want political stuff, or I expect political stuff.
They're definitely filling the what do people like in rock and metal right now. We'll take some of that. Okay, boom. This is what we got.
Basic. Yeah. That's why I'm like that's why I was kind of upset with them debuting at Download, because it doesn't feel earned.
Well, and that's the thing, we talked about that right when President started, you know, we started hearing about this new masked band. That was one of the first things we all said was industry plant or just somebody who has so much money that they can buy their way to the top from the get, which is exactly what this feels like. It doesn't matter how they got here. They have enough support or backing, whether it's coming from within So, you know, the campaign managers, doesn't matter. They... You know what I'm saying? Like they just totally, they didn't work for this. And a lot of people are really upset about that as well, because we all know you have to play in the garage for a while. You have to play to your mom in the bar, you know, a couple Tuesday nights as you work it up. And this, they didn't have to do any of that. And so it feels like they don't really have that extra soul level of a band that works their way to get to this Download stage point.
Again, they had like two songs to begin with. Part of me was expecting, was like thinking like, are they really only going to play two songs and then dip? I will say, if I could say one positive thing, though, they dialed back on the vocal effects on the guy. And I am so thankful for that, because honestly, it is egregious in the studio recordings. The new songs they played, they're fine, especially since he's playing. It's a lot more of it's just his raw voice. And I hope they keep it to that, because you know, it's just like a thing where it's like I shouldn't be like dreading a studio version of a live song just because I'm worried about how it's going to be mixed compared to it.
We'll find out, because I'm sure President's going to have new stuff popping off now that they already performed it live. President's music is not done, but I do want to say one final thing before we move on to the other stories after our festival coverage. Once again, Download did do extremely well. I'm jealous. And not only that, Download has once again proven that European festivals will always be better than American festivals, because luxury porta potties. The toilets at Download were mad yesterday. Proper locking cubicles with a seat and electronic flush, and sinks with soap, water, and mirrors. To those listening from outside the nation, outside the United States, we don't have those luxuries at our festivals. Not even close. Do you remember what we had at our festivals? We had Poop River. Do you think those were from the luxury ones? No, they are not. Once again, the American festival this weekend had Poop River. The European one had arguably luxury. Point goes to Europe on this one. So we now move on to, we'll try to be brief about this one because I know we went long with Warped Tour. Alex, Rowan, you both were aware of what happened. Years ago, Courtney Love made a big statement about how crowd surfing and bands get, or fans get way too far when the band members come out to the crowd thinking they do it whatever to a woman. Same thing happened to Sleep Theory singer. Boy, was that what I was expecting. Literally same. He made a statement to the crowd and then did it as well. Whoever it was that thought it was okay to finger blast me and grab my blank and rub blank, I have to censor so much, and do all that extra stuff after I kindly turned around and looked her in the face and said stop, and she kept doing it. You should have expected me to kick you in your jaw. Now,
if you said if you SH somebody, you ought to be like, you are opening the door to being like assaulted back, or, you know, you, it's like, expect some.
That is self-defense. If you already say no and it's that aggressive. Yeah, that's self-defense at that point. That's just like knee jerk reaction. But Sweet Mercy.
Yeah.
There's apparently footage of this online that was going around and stuff while he was crowd surfing and stuff. But maybe take that down if you're a fan of Sleep Theory. Maybe. I don't know. Give the guy a little bit of respect. But that's just me.
It was gross. Don't do that to anybody. I don't care if it's a man or a woman or non-binary. You don't touch people like that. That's gross.
Gender should not matter in terms of the aggressor and the victim. Like, it's just a bad thing.
One of the infamous photos I had from Welcome to Rockville 2016, when 6 a.m. was performing Nikki Sixx's band, when Guns N' Roses was on, or when Motley Crue was on hiatus, was a fan groping a woman body surfer, like full on, not just copying a feel, but like grabbing hard, you know, bad. And I turned that, like, blurred out her face and turned that as a big PSA to everyone. It still happens. And I have never understood the thought logic of going to a festival or a concert, but gooning so hard, they're like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to cop a feel on these sweaty crowd surfers. Yeah. No. That's what they do. And I don't get it.
If you had...
People are net degenerate. It sucks that that's the case, but like, seriously, like...
Go ahead, Alex. Alex, yeah, I do too. Alex, if you're what...
I was going to say, if you need more of a deterrent to not crowd surf these days, this is one. You don't want to get felt up.
No, by anyone, especially a group of sweaty, angry strangers in the dark in a venue where you can't get help.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. All right. I want to get dropped on my head and I don't want to get felt up. So I think I'm going to retire.
Is crowd surfing worth it? Really? What's the benefit? Tell me the benefit at this point. What do you get out of it?
Honestly, just like a bucket list thing. It's just like, oh yeah, I could say I did it once.
And, sure. Yeah. You want to do it once? That's it. Cut it off after that. There you go. All right. We're going to get serious here. We joke around. We laugh at stuff. We try to make light of some of the stuff where we know he's okay. This is where Alex is going to back me up on this. We found out this past week that Amigo the Devil literally lost everything. And I have the link to his GoFundMe in the description for this video. When I say everything, I mean all his old albums and records and like notes and all the old recordings he had. Everything in his home. He and his wife, and this is really going to be dark, lost their dog in this fire. Literally everything gone. He had like a gut-wrenching post about it, and he's trying to stay positive, but like, it was a merciless night, and they have this GoFundMe. they've raised a lot of money. It's not going to replace everything yet. Not even close. But at the same time, if you have a dollar you can donate to this man, to him and his wife, who lost literally everything, it will help. Alex, can you, you've met Amigo, correct?
Yeah.
Can you go ahead and give your, go ahead.
He's an amazing guy. He has, he is always the nicest dude to chat with. He is humble. He's kind. He is super, super sweet. He's genuinely not just, you know, oh yeah, he's such a, he's really one of the nicest guys that I've ever met in the rock slash metal world. This sucks super hard.
This is the type of thing.
I can't even imagine the type of pain that could be. Like, your house burns down with all your possessions. It's like, honestly, like, even if you get the, even if you get money, it's like, how do you just, like, you, you can't just replace all that.
And like it says there, like a family member posted this, everything is gone, like collectibles and memories, instruments, recording equipment, cherished art, him, his and his wife's clothes.
Yeah.
Just everything you can imagine. And right there.
The loss of Kobe, their dog. I can't even imagine. That sucks so hard. I am so sorry to Amigo and
so
his family.
Again, link is in the video description. I'll put it in the pinned comment tomorrow when I update everything. A dollar, if you have that, I promise it'll go to a better place than whatever you're going to spend that dollar on. Because this is a family, a couple that needs something, you know? So I know it sucks to have all the down talk and stuff like that sometimes. And I joke about trying to be positive when it's hard. This is something I did not want to ignore. There's like, this needed to be pointed out. So please do that. We move on to what sounds like shockingly bad news, but does have good, a good outlook of optimism. We found out that with Hatebreed's upcoming tour, the guitarist has to exit finding out he has a brain tumor. Now, that sounds like a nightmare. Turns out he knows already that it's benign. They caught it super early, and he should be okay. He almost had a stroke at Download, like right after the performance. But again, everything should be okay. They're very optimistic. They found out everything will be okay with him after surgery. He'll get treatment, but they're not as worried about it. That's a huge sigh of relief of what could have been fatal. So,
yeah.
It's not.
It's a bummer about the tour, but at least they caught it when they did.
Correct.
Yeah. That's more important.
It is. And again, I know, like, they did Download, they were going to do some dates with Lamb of God and things like that as well. At least he knows now. Catching it early is the biggest thing you can do, and that's what matters. So, you know what? A little bit of positivity for that. It sucks, but at least it's there, and at least he knows now, and he'll be okay. So we go on next to, I want to make sure I got the right one, two other things of good news. One more uplifting and optimistic for good for you, and another one of a nice cheery moments. Nuclear Blast, a big metal record label with a whole lot of big bands, said goodbye to Twitter, X. That's huge. When you have a marketing and publicity machine like that and all this following, and they say, screw this, it's not worth it. That takes a big statement, because they are like one of the few names in like the music world that does get money and press and attention off of that nightmare site. And even they're saying it's not worth it. Again, sticking to ground. Good for them.
I like it. I like it when somebody with a lot to lose from something are like, I don't care. Yeah. I don't support that.
I agree. And I did it, and I have small potatoes, you know? They doing it, and if they're going to be fine, that shows everyone else can. It's
just interesting, because like at this point, especially when you are such a big industry like Nuclear Blast, you kind of just have it just because, you know, just because like you want like, your business, so you just need to reach it out to as many people as you can.
Yeah, I agree. So good for them. And then finally, we got the best news of all. We hear wedding bells in the most beautiful way, because Danny Filth of Cradle of Filth
all the way from Mordor.
Got a ring all the way from Mordor and proposed to his girlfriend on stage. And he said it in the growly voice. Aw. And kissing with the makeup on. And his
so pin, romantic.
And his pinhead bassist is there with him. I'm sorry if that was deafening, but I wanted to play the audio on it. I'm genuinely happy. Good for them. Gretchen, I'm sorry I did not propose like that. I apologize. I know it's not the best proposal I gave you, but we can't all have the best, okay? Danny Filth has that now. And everyone listening, her name is Mrs. Filth to you. So.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations, Mr. and Mrs. Filth.
Yes. I hope baby Filth, if it ever happens, will be a baby actually in a cradle, a not cradle, a filth. Still. Yeah, so you got where I was going. Yeah, you got where I was going. So.
They actually live up to the name, just like a physical cradle filth.
Oh, honey, we have to do this. It's the name of the band. It's been building up to this. Just one photo. Just one photo in the dirty, filthy cradle.
Yeah,
Everyone at the bar. The bar has been set. If you're not proposing in harsh vocals, you're not proposing correctly anymore.
It's true. So I know it's been a lot of stuff. We now need to keep going with our upcoming tours and albums. A lot got announced. A lot. Alex, you had homework. What is your upcoming tours for that got announced this week?
Some good ones from Trivium, massive North American tour with Ginger and Harriet. That's going to be awesome. Nailbomb just announced a summer European tour. CKY and Fiend Without a Face just announced a UK tour. We've got He Is Legend. They just announced some US dates celebrating 20 years of Suck Out the Poison.
Mm-hmm.
20 years. That's nuts.
Oh, yep.
Classic rock fans, Jeff Tate announced the final 2026 U.S. tour celebrating Queensryche Operation Mindcrime.
Yep.
Fit for a King just announced a North American tour with Make Them Suffer, Spite, and 156 Silence.
Mm.
And Poppy announced a North American tour with Dying Wish and Ms. Payne.
I'm very, very excited for this one.
It's going to be awesome. Of course, those scattered dates with Evanescence. Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so. Chimera bringing back their Christmas show for the first time since 2017.
Chimera Christmas.
Happy holidays.
All right. There's a lot of good stuff that got announced this week. Good variety in that, especially if you're a metal fan. So you know what? Go get those tickets. If you're getting those tours, they'll all be posted on the socials already. Rowan, what albums do we have coming up for June 20th, 2025?
First of all, we have Bad Flower with No Place Like Home. Bad Flower is like they're a pretty decent rock band. Like it's a little bit more mainstream.
They have a few decent hits.
Yeah. We have Cryptopsy with An Insatiable Violence. Like, so
that's the if I'm correct, that's the brutal tech
Canadian death metal band.
From French Canadian. So it's a lot friendlier and snootier.
Yes. We have Malevolence with Where Only the Truth Is Spoken.
Okay.
Yeah. And finally, this is the one I'm most excited for. We have Ailstorm with the Thunder Fist Chronicles. Ailstorm is just like, we talked about this when Jay was on. It's like, that's the pirate metal band, right? That's just fun.
They've been around for years. They're in our Rocker Flop folder as well. So you know what?
I know. That's how we talked about them. They came up there. Yeah.
It's intentionally goofy, as pirate metal should be. If you're taking pirate metal serious.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You have the gimmick and you go all the way with it, and you're just being like, this is our thing. We're just here to have fun. We're not trying to be like too serious. Go listen to some pirate metal. Yeah.
Correct. Song of the week this week is Orbit Culture's Death Above Life. It came out technically last week. It was just after the podcast came out. It's heavy. It's got great riffs. This is a big one from Orbit Culture. Their new stuff is coming out later this year on my birthday, by the way, for those of you planning ahead, on October 3rd. So very cool to see that. I'm a big fan. When I saw Orbit Culture on tour with Slipknot, they were opening. Good stuff. Check the song out. It'll be pinned in the description, in the comments, blah, blah, blah. Did I catch everything in this nonsense and this mess? Because it was a crazy week. Did I get everything?
I think so.
I think so, too. Okay. We now go to Super Chats. Then we're going to have at least one round of Festival Rock for Flop. We have two. And actually, because someone renewed their membership and did a Super Chat, I'll add that to three. So we'll have three rounds. We'll do this very quickly, however. Rock and Moves with Tyler renewed his membership and did a Super Chat saying, I'm glad he enjoyed it, and hopefully Crash Thompson will as well come the next Rock Coliseum, as it definitely screams Crash 2, me solid prog metal. I'm not quite positive on what all that meant, but thank you for the Super Chat, and Crash is great. So, also from Mosh Pit Messiah, like the comment I already read, because I'll say it again because it was gold. Someone at Warped Tour 2025 is making a killing selling Advil and earplugs. Alex, if you want to make some extra cash, if we get you to Warped Tour Long Beach, bring like your mini packets, like individual packets, and put a Rocked logo on them. You're going to make a killing. You're going to come out of there with like a wad of cash like you just robbed a bank.
Fun. I was already thinking it. I'm down. Okay, let's
good.
Do it.
Good, good, good. Okay. We're going to make this a business opportunity. Yep, that being said, yes. All right. Alex and Rowan, are you ready to book some festivals?
Do it. Have we never not been ready?
Honestly, some weeks after how bad they were, the following week, sometimes we're a little precautious. So we shall see. Each week when we hit a certain light goal, we play a game called Wrestle Rock or Flop, where we book four bands at a middle of nowhere radio station festival and actually ask the audience and debate if we would go to it or not. We're in the business to make money, and we want to make sure we make a profit for these little radio station festivals in the middle of nowhere. This will be, as I get the right thing going, can you guys still see my screen?
Yep.
Okay. Can you see the folder? Awesome. Yep. All right. We're going to go for our first one. What should our first one be named? Any suggestions for our first festival? What is to be named?
Poo-poo Festival.
The Poo-poo Festival? No,
we gotta sell this. Come on. We gotta work in like the Warped Tour angle.
That was Warped Tour. Poo-poo.
How about not a teenager festival?
Aging Millennial Fest?
Advil Fest.
Advil Fest. There we go. Sponsored by Advil. Here we go. Advil Fest. If they have Monster Energy Fest, the next age group would be Advil Fest. It's perfect. Okay. Band number one for Advil Fest. Nine Inch Nails.
Already a strong start.
Man, that's huge. And they just had their tour like start off and they're playing old stuff too. So you know what? Advil Fest looking strong. It's kind of weird too because I have that photo, exact photo behind me right now too, so it's kind of just looking at us.
See it.
Yeah. Well, you know, perfect timing. Number two, Baby Metal.
This is already a yes for me. Unless we get someone really crap, this is already a yes.
This is pretty fun so far. So number three, Breaking Benjamin. I'm fine with that. Hey, that's fine. You know what? And number four, Memphis Mayfire.
Nice.
There's no reason I would not go to this. Come on.
No, not one.
In that reverse order that was shown, Memphis Mayfire, then Breaking Benjamin, then Baby Metal, then Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah.
This is honestly like one of the perfect festivals for me. This is at least one.
Audience, please type in yes or no in the chat if you would go to this or not. Honestly, this is perfect for Advil Fest, too. It does have that ramp up for a little bit older. Not super old, but a little bit older. I think
Memphis
this works
Mayfire was at Warped Tour.
Yeah.
We've got Nine Inch Nails doing all of their old stuff now.
Yeah.
What did they play? They played recently.
Piggy.
That's what I get for the first time.
That's what I get.
In 34 years.
They played Piggy for the first time in something like at least 20 something years. So yeah, they're definitely doing the hits and getting the old stuff, which is awesome. So I'm happy about it. Lots of yeses. Come on. This is a obvious slam dunk. Here we go.
I'm very nostalgic for Breaking Benjamin and Memphis Mayfire. So like, seriously. Yeah.
Tyler Fest coming up because he did a super chat and he renewed his membership. Thank you again for doing that. The memberships help you a ton. He gets the early access with stuff. Here we go. Tyler Fest, number one. We just did Breaking Benjamin. Man, he's coming up a lot. I believe that's Hinder. Not a great start for Tyler Fest. Number two, AJR.
We are in the opposite direction.
Okay, I don't know what the market's going for here for Poplar Bluff, Missouri, for Tyler Fest. Literally middle of nowhere, but southern Missouri. But number three, Bring Me the Horizon. Bring Me the Horizon with AJR and Hinder. It's a weird mix of bands and fan bases. Number four, we already had Nine Inch Nails. Sorry, Trent. A Perfect Circle.
Well, damn.
The first half was bad, but now I'm torn.
I think we spent all of our money on the last two as headliners.
Sure did, and that's all we could get for the other two. To Poplar Bluff, Missouri, that absolutely makes sense.
I'll go for the headliners.
Yeah, I mean.
Hinder, I can tolerate. AJR would really be like merch, like a band.
Like I can laugh off Hinder. AJR, I can like go, oh, hurry it up. but then I'm happy. A perfect circle and Bring Me the Horizon, then I'm happy, you know?
If I could tough those two out, yes, it's going to be awesome.
Okay, okay. So yes, it's not by any means a perfect show, but it leans towards yes. Audience, okay, yes with an asterisk. I'll go for a Bring Me the Horizon in a perfect circle. Yes or no in the chat. If the other two open first, then I will arrive late. I mean, if you're paying a ticket.
We are opening first.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, we're not closing with Hinder. Come on now. Ollie Sykes is not going to open for Hinder. That just doesn't work that way. No. Have APC and BMT highlight. I'll show up late. Everyone says I'll just show up late. Yes, I can tolerate the modern Hinder sound.
I'm with them.
Yeah. Okay. And Tyler's, it's his fest. I'm going to be late. Story of my life. But yes, you know what? Second half, yes. Barely got that one. All right. Finally, we have Mosh Pit Fest because it's Mosh Pit Messiah. Do you want to do Mosh Pit Fest or Messiah Fest? Because Messiah Fest makes it sound like a Christian festival. And I don't know. That's what it's going to be. So
Mosh Pit. We could potentially screw ourselves over by just having the most non-mosh bands.
Calm bands. Yeah. Mosh Pit Fest number one. Limp Bizkit.
No, never mind. We're good. We're on red.
It definitely is the correct terminology and label. Number two, Tool.
Yes, this is awesome.
That's not a mosh pit band, but it definitely fits the vibe. Number three,
you can mosh some
boy, the budget for Mosh Pit Fest is massive. Yowza. Number three, Jelly Roll. Well, that's a switch. Actually, no. Jelly Roll and Limp Bizkit probably would do something weird together. So
probably.
Yeah. At number four, Death Clock.
I'm going.
It sounds like we had millions of dollars and we were like, what can we do tomorrow with these millions of dollars? Let's book this show.
Yes. Like, okay, we'll pay, but you got to pay us double. Fine. Money's no object. And that's the only bands we could get. Okay. I'll say this.
Tool, yeah. And Limp Bizkit on this and Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll's just big.
I'll say this. It will sell tickets. People will come to this for sure.
We get the country crowd coming in.
And the Limp Bizkit crowd, and they always play nice together. And then Tool. And Death Clock's the opener. Huh. Yes.
I'll go. I think it sounds fun.
Yeah. Yes. I would go. I don't know what I'd do with myself for a lot of the show, but I would go. So this is a Dayton, Ohio fest if I've ever heard one. Just middle of Ohio. Nothing else for miles. We got three for three. It got a little weird, but it got three for three. Everyone agree?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that worked pretty well.
Yeah.
I thank you guys for sticking late. We started a couple minutes late. Thank you guys so much for hanging with us for all the coverage and things like that. We are so happy to have you here every Wednesday evening. We'll be back next Wednesday evening as well as I stop sharing my screen with these three, two, one. There we go. I did it. Or smooth enough. Thank you guys so much. Please keep leaving comments. We'll try to reply to you guys. Thank you so much for all your advice, your suggestions, your comments, your engagement. Share the links. It does help a ton. I am going to have some upcoming content coming on the Heavies YouTube channel. For those who are not aware, I got picked up by the headphone company Heavies. They're going to start making their own original content. More of that's coming this Friday. So you'll hear my voice and see my face on that channel as well. I'll share out the links to the same places. Alex, do you have anything you'd like to part with?
Nope, I think we're good.
Rowan, how about you?
Good, yeah.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. And now, Alex, you are able to get Rowan on the last week's joke. However, the bar has been set high by Bowling for Soup and Dan Bobbenmeyer.
No. We need to have a conversation, me and them, gentlemen. We need to duke it out, I think.
I wonder if are they gonna be at Long Beach?
I think so. Yeah.
I want to say I think so too. I don't know if they'll Dan Pavlov be, but Bowling for Soup should be.
Bowling for Soup should be, yeah.
Yeah, so that might be a
we may
one.
Have to have a conversation.
Yeah, I heard of you three. Yeah, I heard of you guys.
Hey, I heard what you guys are trying to do, huh? Yeah. I heard you guys trying to one up me.
Step on my turf.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go.
You're gonna be bowling for your teeth if you keep that up.
Oh my God, you just dump them.
I'm like 5 foot nothing. I go, I'm like, I see you guys want to fight.
All right, Alex.
All right.
What is your joke for the week?
Most bald people still own a comb.
Okay.
They just can't part with it.
I get it.
I see your faces.
Rowan's leaving. So in fairness, if he left, that's a good sign. We don't know if he left it as he just screamed into his pillow. I could have been laughing as well, though. He might have just laughed into his pillow. Huh.
I think I broke Rowan again. I think that means I win.
We think Rowan, were you laughing into your pillow? Because that's what it looked like.
Did it sound like a laugh?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so. Yeah, I don't know. Someone said I don't get it.
Oh, no. I don't know.
Who is throwing scalding coffee at Alex? Yikes.
I think that means that my joke was hot.
Oh, okay. Goodness.
I like coffee.
Oh. That was just for that one.
What? It was a hot joke.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
Is the person slapping you or offering high fives?
Just repeated high fives. It was so good. It was so good.
Everything's great. Those are rounds of applause for me. Thank you so much.
Reminder, if the punchline makes you want to go, good night, everybody. It's not a dad joke. It's an uncle joke. What? Pizza, ice cubes. Oh, you got a drum shot. I mean, I don't do my hair like ever. Well, jury's out on this one. Jury's out on this one. Oh, someone said game over. Ha ha. So I think some people are liking it in the chat. So you know what? We'll take that as it is. So thank you all so much. Oh man, someone just threw a whole barrage of things at you. You're getting the kitchen sink.
We have
a
mouse, crab, bee. I don't know how you throw a bee. Tomato, strawberry, skull, look, banjo.
But a pun king approval. I win.
He 100% approves from a husband of Cassandra. Oh, someone's throwing waffles.
That's awesome.
I love waffles. Thank you. I've had a lot of worse stinkers. Okay. I will not take this as my worst
this
ever.
This was not the bottom. I would 100% agree with that. It's not a bad joke. It's a bad joke. What? Okay.
I gotta say, like, we gotta do like we're coming up on a year of this show now, honestly. I mean, like, we gotta do like some sort of like thing where it's just like the best or worst of Alex's dad jokes.
Okay. All the podcasts are available to be clipped on YouTube. If someone wants to do the dirty work and clip all the podcast dad jokes into one super thing, like a super cut, you go right ahead.
We will not pay you, but we will give you a shout out.
Yeah, we'll give you a shout out. We'll link to the video, all that stuff too. My wife just said someone throw waffles my way. Yeah, well. You know, thank you so much, Gretchen. I don't have waffles. I'm sorry. I disappointed you with not giving you the Danny Filth proposal, and now I can't get you waffles. Man, what a husband. What a husband.
She's like, get in the kitchen now.
She's just sadly sitting in the dark of the kitchen. good night, everybody. We'll have more terrible music news and hilarious dad humor next week.